The Passover Haggadah relates that when telling the story of the salvation, the exodus from Egypt, you will encounter four types of responses, like four soils from the parable of the sower. These are four types of people among us: the wise son, the wicked son, the simple son, and the one who does not know how to ask. And for each son, for each person, the Haggadah says, you have to tailor your presentation of the good news to meet them where they are at. Most average people will probably fall into the last two categories: not a lot of wise sons and not a lot of completely wicked sons. But many are simple sons in regard to the things of the kingdom. And most do not even know how to ask. So to recapitulate what we've learned here, evangelism as modeled by our master, it has two primary thrusts. First, it's primarily about discipleship, not making converts. And second, it is primarily, but not exclusively, primarily focused on the lost sheep of Israel. And who are the lost sheep of Israel? Well, in the Master's Day, they were the secular among the Jewish people who needed to return to the Torah through discipleship to our Master. Therefore, I think it's with this group of people, the secular Jewish people, on which efforts of Jewish outreach should be applied. And in my opinion, this is a field of work primarily for Jewish believers. But in our day, the lost sheep of Israel also includes those other sheep which are not of the Jewish pasture. The Master's other sheep, the 1 billion sheep which are spread across every flavor of Christendom, many of which are lost, many of which are Christians in name only, and need to be brought to the paths of discipleship, not to grow our congregations and not to grow the Messianic Jewish movement, but to advance the kingdom of heaven, regardless of the flavor. To close, I would like to read you a story about evangelism, a story from over 100 years ago. This is the story of a Jewish believer named Robert Feinsilber, himself a disciple of Joseph Rabinowitz. Feinsilber worked among the poor and needy of the Jewish people of Hungary, distributing food and clothing. As he tells it in the 1902 mission journal Scattered Nation, Feinsilber was doing mission work among the Jewish people in Hungary when he wrote this story about one particularly poignant encounter he had. I like the story because, to me, it epitomizes the power of the gospel text itself and the power of the Holy Spirit in our efforts. And I like this story because it demonstrates the kind of heart that is necessary for effective evangelism, the carrying of others' burdens, in this case, literally carrying another's burdens, but metaphorically speaking, showing real and genuine compassion, concern, chesed for others, like the Samaritan in the Master's parable. Feinsilber was passing out New Testaments, Hebrew and German New Testaments, in his effort to bring the gospel to his people. And he was not experiencing a lot of positive feedback as he ministered among the Hungarian Jewish population. But he did find people always eager to receive the New Testaments. I'll pick up the story in the middle of his report. He says, "I had to walk 3 hours on foot back to Orsova to wait there till rooms should be vacated on the second day after. But as with Philip, the road from Jerusalem to Gaza was pointed out by the Lord, and he was blessed in taking it, for the eunuch from Ethiopia was enlightened and won for Christ. So it was with me on my way back to Orsova. I had the opportunity of speaking with a poor Jewish hawker lying on the grass who was reading a Gospel of John, which I had given him from the carriage the same morning on my journey from Orsova. I sat down by him on the grass and asked him what he was reading. He did not recognize that it was I who had given him the book that very morning, and said to me, 'I do not know. This book is either magic or it is the very truth.' I asked him what the passage was which appeared to him so strange. He showed me the account of Nicodemus, John 3:3, where the Lord said to him, 'Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' I asked if he understood the words, and he said he thought they were Kabbalistic, for how can a man already born be born again? I told him the passage should be understood in the sense, 'Except a man be born from above.' I then took the Hebrew New Testament from my pocket and showed him the Hebrew text. He gazed fixedly at me and for many minutes was mute, as if dumb. I asked him a second time if he now understood the passage clearly. On this he began to speak stutteringly. Where did you get the Hebrew book, which appears to be the same as my German book? Did a gentleman traveling today in a carriage give it to you? I told him, No, I have had this book already 17 years, and it has been my guide and counselor ever since. Then again he fixed his eyes on me and was silent for a while. I asked him why he so often appeared to be amazed and kept silent, as if he were ill. Again he looked at me and said, No, I am well, but today is no ordinary day to me. Powerful spirits must have been at work, for firstly this book has come into my hands, secondly I have found this Kabbalistic passage in it, thirdly I have met a pious, long-bearded kosher Jew who has the same book in Hebrew and who has explained the passage clearly to me. I told him that this passage, which he had read, he must experience in himself, that is, he himself must be born from above. But as the day was closing in, I told him that we could no longer sit on the grass. We must be on our way in order to be under cover before night came. I took my coat and gave it to him to carry, with my little bag of books. Then I slung his basket of wares upon my shoulder and said to him that I was stronger than he and would carry it until we came to the town. The man burst into tears and said something which I could not understand. We walked together shoulder to shoulder some 15 miles in silence. I observed him and was aware that during this time a change had taken place in the man which we can only ascribe to the working of the Holy Spirit. Shortly before we reached the town, he asked me to let down the basket from my shoulder, for he himself would carry it through the town. I did as he wished. Then I said to him that as it was evening he should come with me to the inn and I would pay for his supper and night's lodging. He exclaimed, Sir, for the first time in my life I have learnt that God thinks upon me. You seem to be his messenger, so I will not hesitate but follow you. I took him with me to the inn and arranged for his room and supper. After supper we sat together in his room for something like an hour, and again read John 3. I prayed with him, sitting at the table, and it was already 11 o'clock at night when I went to my room to rest. When I woke early in the morning, the porter told me the man had left the town by boat at daybreak. I think this story communicates several important truths about effective evangelism. There's the power of the gospel itself, the genuine human contact, the effort to connect, asking questions. There's the demonstration of love, carrying another's burdens. And the story demonstrates the work of the Holy Spirit. Finally, it illustrates evangelism well because we don't really know how the story ends. That's the way it is with evangelism. It doesn't end at the point of conversion or confession because it's the story of human life and relationship with God. So the man goes on and the story goes on, even beyond our efforts. So what about evangelism? It leaves us tongue-tied, stuttering like Moses. How do we communicate the ineffable? As a matter of Torah, a matter of revelation through the Holy Spirit. It's relational, it's heart speaking to heart. The gospel comes with the Torah. They were never meant to be separated or polarized. It involves the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven, the Messiah King, yes, his coming kingdom, yes, but also the kingdom now, in our lives, kingdom living, seeking the kingdom first, sharing the knowledge of God, which is relationship with God, the knowing of God, which will characterize the kingdom age. And it involves making disciples, raising up disciples, not just making converts. And although the gospel message is for all humanity, summoning all mankind to the wedding banquet of the kingdom, our Master's heart is for the lost sheep of Israel, the Jewish people who have turned away from God, and the Christian people, more than 1 billion that share the name of Israel through the Messiah, and yet many of which, spiritually speaking, do not know their left hand from their right hand.
The light it shines is the Torah, the lamp is the mitzvah. The light it shines is the Torah, the lamp is the mitzvah. The light it shines is the Torah.